Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of March, recording at, oh my goodness, it's 11:41 p.m. Where'd all the time go? It's British Standard Time, of course. Well, quickly then, first, stock markets, mixed soft today in Asia. That's not surprising, given the weakness that we'd seen on Wall Street last night. Japan, the Nikkei 225 was down 75 points. That's not much. It was only 0.67%. But I think that we may see a bit further reaction, judging by one factor only, and that's the yen, which really did firm in here today. For instance, dollar yen is at 108.82. as I speak. Now in Europe, which has been bashed recently, in part all in line with this global correction that we've been seeing in stock markets, we saw the beginning of a bit of a technical bounce in here. And IBEX, not surprisingly, the Spanish market, which was hit so hard yesterday, picked up a little bit in here, up 111 points, 1.45%. That was the best gain on the day. But Wall Street, up, down, and then closed up, and not that far off the highs of the days of the day. The Dow up 81, more modest gains elsewhere, 6 on the S&P. That's 0.5%, and only 3.89 or 0.2% for the NASDAQ index. So although we have short-term oversold indicators for stock markets, there's still no clear evidence that this global correction, such as it is, has ended. As you know, for most indices, they've seen a bigger pullback recently than in the last month, let's say, than at any time really since the rally began just about a year ago. Now, that said, there's some markets that are still relatively firm in here, very firm on a relative basis. Malaysia is one example. That's one that I still like. It's a classic late runner. But I think in terms of seeing a bottom for these stock markets, let alone an extension of the overall rally, we've got to see some clear evidence from some of the prior leaders. That would be the NASDAQ index, which remains quite soft, easing further into support recently, and also, or dropping further into support, it wasn't so much easing, and also Thailand, which has had a very indifferent performance for a number of weeks. There's an interesting report on that up today, a fairly optimistic comment from Deutsche Bank, but I really got to see the action on the charts, and I don't see it yet. Now, what else to mention in here? Bonds, those U.S. bonds were really quite steady in here again today, up a full point. That was because the U.S. Federal Reserve gave absolutely no indication that they were going to nudge interest rates up anytime soon. So as I say, that put the long bond future up a full point, and we'd had a softer tone in the European bonds in here today, although no heavy selling. In terms of how we play these asset classes, you know, I feel very cautious about stock markets. I don't want to put new money in here, although better to put new money in here today than for captive investors than, let's say, a couple of months ago. So at least markets have corrected. But my point is, I don't see any evidence that we've seen the reaction low in here for this correction, and I also maintain that the risk-reward ratio has definitely deteriorated. You might be interested in my 8 points that I cover on stock markets in terms of eight concerns that weren't in the market a year ago, when all people really had to worry about was fear. I won't review those, though. You can read those on the site. And bonds, well, you know my view. I think that the next big move in bond prices will be downwards, in other words, up in yields, but that could be a good many months away at this stage, so it's best to do little in there. And I've got a couple of toe in the water short positions, small shorts in the US Treasuries and the JGBs. The JGBs are probably the better of the two, partly because it costs doesn't cost very much to actually hold a short position in JGBs. The interest rates are so low. But this is a premature position, which I've described as being equivalent to establishing a position in palladium. A bit on the early side as well, just because I felt that the palladium, in the case of palladium, that it would market was so depressed that I could afford to go in and accumulate on easing. And with bonds, well, I'm going to be more cautious with that, but I felt that the top extension rally was big enough so that I could go in and establish a few little short positions. But I would have been even better off if I'd waited. Well, no doubt I would have been better off if I'd waited. Okay, what else to look at here? Currencies. I mentioned the yen. That was the main change in here today. I think there are concerns that perhaps there isn't going to be quite as much intervention in the markets. And stories along those lines had been making the rounds. And if we get to, so we had quite a downward dynamic here, really, for the US dollar against the Japanese yen. Again, I'm just not playing this because it's too choppy, and we know what the Bank of Japan, the Ministry of Finance view is, that they certainly don't want to see the yen appreciating, but they'll have to show the color of their money once again if they want to prevent a retest of that low by the US dollar against the Japanese currency. Nothing much in here on the euro today. It's just basically been in a trading range against the greenback. And others in here, no, well, it's just quiet day generally in the currencies. I'm not showing that euro rate here at the moment, but I usually do give that to you, so let me just put that up. Sorry for the delay. Currently 122.64, so that's barely changed on yesterday. Now, it had been higher during the day, and so we've seen those gains given up. It got up to 23.5, 23.6. I'm here, just very much a ranging phase. Possible evidence of the euro beginning to bottom out against the dollar here above 120, but it's too soon to be sure on this, and I'm very happy not to have any position in currencies at this particular time. Now, the most exciting area, I think, overall remains the commodity plays, and mainly the metals. And palladium, which is my big speculative position in here right now, that just had a small gain in here today. It's been trading also after hours, but it's in currently 281.60. Has been up as high as the 284 level. So it's just been very good relative strength there overall. But the most important thing that happened in metals here today, you remember I mentioned the nickel. I think I was talking about that, might have been last Friday or perhaps yesterday, or perhaps both, just saying that nickel had moved down, got close to the $12,000 level where there was some support clearly evident on the charts. And that decline was beginning to become a bit overextended. We had quite a good tail on the chart yesterday. It would have been yesterday that I mentioned it. In other words, got down close to the 12,000 level after a major pullback. I think the high had been up around 18,000 at the beginning of the year, I believe. And then we had a lot of tail, so it bounced yesterday off that low. I did comment on that. And today, we had the most positive action I've seen on nickel since we had the actual peak several months ago, and it closed up $1,150, and that took it back up to $13,850. So that's quite a bounce. Now, I suspect there was a bit of short covering in there because that had been weak for a number of months. Now, what I would expect to see, and I think I was talking yesterday about nickel might be one of my next purchases, provided it didn't run so rapidly that I didn't have a chance to get aboard. And I'm reluctant to come in quickly after that strong upward dynamic, but the fact that we've seen it suggests to me that nickel, there's quite a good chance that we've seen nickel's reaction low, and therefore any pullback that we were to see, and I would hope there's no guarantee we'd get a pullback, but we'd be unlucky not to see it pull back a bit and get a little bit of sideways consolidation. And if that happens, I will think, and definitely think about going in and adding a position. Now, I've been cautious in a lot of these industrial metals here in the short term just because of the dollar's gyrations and because they'd lost some of their uptrend consistency and we'd lost the commonality factor that's so important to me in terms of trend running. But with nickel turning like that, and that has been a very important leader for the cycle, I'm certainly feeling that the technical evidence is now beginning to improve. And we had another very firm day in here in the metals. That tin that I do like a lot, as you know, but have been out of recently, that closed up $155 here at 7,380. So that's another new high for this move. And frankly, they've all packed in with quite a strong performance. And I maintain that the industrial metals are probably best overall, given that strong demand that's been coming out of China. And I do expect that to continue, even though China's trying to slow down the economy a bit. It may not be enough to really crimp this overall bull market in these industrial metals. So, in terms of supply and elasticity, that's my investment theme of the year. We've got these asset bubbles created by all the liquidity that central banks have been throwing into the system. Well, markets where supply is difficult to increase are going to do best against that environment, and industrial metals are certainly candidates. Now, the soybeans, another supply shortage situation, but that's very much due to weather, and mainly the dry weather in one part of Brazil that damaged the crop, lowered the, will certainly lower the yield, and then the too wet weather in another region, which is hampering harvest efforts, or hampering rather, hampering harvest efforts. So that's caused a major move upwards in soybeans. Now, I've been was outrageously lucky in that position because I had a stop in the market, and in the money stop, the market got down to that level and a little bit beyond, and I just brokers hadn't seen it. It was a spread bet position. And I've discovered to my surprise yesterday that I still had the soybeans, said I didn't feel entitled to the profit, which is quite good now. Another up another 10 3/4 in here today, closing at 989. So that's going to go straight into my charitable giving fund, which I'm very happy to do. But in terms of tactics now, I have nudged my stop up a little bit. I'm giving it a bit more breathing space than I was doing previously. But I was also tempted today to put in a sell order, actually, to got quite close to a level where I thought I might think about booking the profit or booking half the profit. And that is, it got up to 996 3/4. That's, gosh, I don't even know what this unit is. That must be, is that $10? I think it is $10 soybeans. So get very close to that level. And that's such a big round psychological level, and we've had, well, soybeans are currently at a 15-year high. So I thought up near a big level like that, a big target area such as 10, would we get a pause? And quite possibly we will. I don't mind that as long as we don't get a downward dynamic off that level. But at any rate, I did not put in an order to lighten the position because I looked at the backwardation, which is very strong. There's a shortage of nearby soybeans, and with this bad Brazilian weather, I hoped that that might push it up a little bit further. But I did nudge my stop up a little bit. Corn, which I also own, that was a little bit softer in here today, down 2 1/4 cents to 305, but still that chart looks quite firm overall. So you can see, in terms of money-making opportunities, I'm really heavyweight in this commodity sector, although less so since the dollar's gyrations occurred, and I'm anxious not to overtrade in this overall environment. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. So all the best.